This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
One of the goals of this program since it began 40 years ago is to encourage our listeners to experience archaeology for themselves. Go to Israel and work on a dig. Archaeology in Israel depends on volunteers, and you can do scientific research, no prior experience required. Get some on-the-job training. Now, if you're a regular listener to The Book in the Spade, you've got some idea of what it entails, but you might want to do some extra reading to prepare yourself, and the book we're going to talk about today is a good place to start. The book is Excavating the Land of Jesus by James Riley Strange, published by Erdmans. Professor Strange teaches New Testament at Samford University and also directs the Shekin Excavation Project near Nazareth in northern Israel. So welcome to The Book in the Spade.
Thank you very much for having me.
For starters, I should mention that your name may be familiar to some of our listeners because your father was also an archaeologist, and his name was also James Strange, James F. Strange.
That's right. Dug for many years in Galilee.
I noticed Biblical Archaeology Review in the comments about your father called him a giant of New Testament archaeology. He was a director of excavations at Sepphoris for the University of South Florida between 1983 and 2010. And I think you were kind of raised in that excavation.
Well, my very first dig as an adult was really as a college student. And 1983 was the first year of that excavation. And that was my first year of digging. Then I had a 9-year hiatus. And so I returned to that excavation in 1992 and started digging and dug for most of the rest of the 90s and on into the early 2000s.
Your mother was also involved in the excavation. Yes. It seems like it was kind of a family affair.
Well, not only my mother, but all three sisters and an aunt and an uncle and various other family members from time to time. And right now, my mother is still doing the same thing for me that she did for my father. She's what we call camp manager. So we've kind of kept the family thing going.
Was there ever any question that you would go into archaeology?
Well, sure. I spent some time wondering what in the world I was going to do. I graduated with a seminary degree in 1991, and I left seminary not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. I tried a few other things. I ended up during that time spending a significant amount of time in Israel, not in any official capacity. I did learn how to draw pottery, technical drawings of pottery, and I made money that way. But somewhere along the way, I eventually figured out, okay, I'm going to do a New Testament PhD and I'm going to do archaeology. So it took a little while, but I did finally figure it out.
Is this book, Excavating the Land of Jesus, your first book?
It's the first book that I have written about archaeology. David Finnessy, who was at Kentucky Christian University for decades, he and I co-edited two volumes on archaeology in Galilee. I had to look at the spine to remember the title. It's a long title. Galilee in the Late Second Temple and Mishnaic Periods. There are two volumes.
And so what is the purpose of this book?
The purpose of the book is to introduce people to how archaeologists think. When I was approached by a man named Alan Myers, who has since died, about writing a book on archaeology in the Gospels, I said yes, but I also said, Alan, I don't want to write the kind of books that have been written, which are fine books or good books. And as a matter of fact, I consult them, although now they're out of date. They need updating. John McRae had written a book on archaeology in the New Testament, and Finnegan had written two books before that. And I said, I don't want to do a survey of sites associated with the ministry of Jesus. And it took me a while to figure out what I was going to do. Finally, I landed on a maxim of my father's, which was archaeology is problem driven. And so I said, okay, that can give me an outline. If I can lay out standard archaeological problems and demonstrate to people, archaeologists operate by solving problems, archaeological problems. And they can be as simple as the location of a site or the dates during which it was occupied or when it flourished and when it was abandoned, to other things that are equally important but require a whole lot more conjecture, such as what were the values of the people who lived here? First of all, how do archaeologists determine what problems they want to solve by digging or surveying or combination of the two? That helps, I think, readers understand in some ways what archaeology is not. Sometimes readers have the impression that archaeology is some other enterprise in service of another discipline. So in service of, say, exegesis of the text. Well, exegesis is an important thing to do, but archaeologists don't think that they're serving exegesis, or that it's in the service even of such things as history. You know, we get along with historians, we work with historians, we do some history, but we're not even serving history. We're trying to understand as best we can through text and through digging the cultural and social lives of the people of the past.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with James Strange, the author of a new book, Excavating the Land of Jesus. A lot of people have the idea that archaeologists, or some archaeologists, are out to prove the Bible. Seeing archaeologists as problem solvers puts it in a different frame of reference.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's natural for us to think about archaeology as trying to prove things. After all, some of the most famous archaeologists we know about, like Heinrich Schliemann discovering Troy, one of his goals was to discover the Troy of the Iliad and to demonstrate the events of the Iliad and find the locations where these things had happened. Certainly, a lot of biblical archaeology has, if it's not been entirely focused on proving the Bible, there has been some kind of relationship between the claims of the Bible on one hand and what archaeology can show on the other. Most archaeologists that I work with and that are my colleagues and the ones that I trained up under and the ones that I interact with most of the time, we're thinking of a different set of problems, using the text often to help us establish hypotheses that we can test by digging, or using the text as one way to reconstruct what we think is the social world, putting those in communication with one another, and often starting that process over and over and over again. You know, we're never done answering those questions. I know that's kind of a broad, fuzzy way to talk about it, but we try to put text for the kind of archaeology that we're doing in Galilee, primarily for the period of Jesus, the Gospels of the New Testament, but also Josephus and Jewish writings such as the Mishnah and the Tosefta, which are composed in the Galilee, putting those in conversation with what we dig out of the ground. So we're also not trying to prove something about the Mishnah as well. You know, we're using whatever we can get from those texts, a reasonable conjecture that we can derive from reading those texts, digging and putting those together. Sometimes there are interesting gaps. I'll just give you an example from, say, the Mishnah. If you read the Mishnah, you have the impression that the temple was never destroyed. They continue to talk about the temple and things that happened in the temple and how they did things in the temple. And it is this odd longevity, continued life of the temple in the literature of the Mishnah. You wouldn't necessarily know that that thing has been gone for over 100 years. Archaeology and the text give us two different kinds of information that we work hard to integrate to understand the social reality of the people who live there.
Your book is Excavating the Land of Jesus. As you just said, you're focusing on the Galilee mostly and the time of Jesus, and that's different than a lot of the archaeology that we've talked about in this program that relates to the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah. And New Testament, of course, is a much briefer period, especially the ministry of Jesus. We're talking about 1 to 3 years. So usually archaeologists who are called New Testament archaeologists or think of themselves as New Testament archaeologists, they understand that their interests are rather focused on the ministry of Jesus when they're digging a site that existed during the ministry of Jesus. But that's one small piece of what they're doing, which is much broader, because typically the sites that we're excavating, you know, especially in the Galilee, they're settled sometime in the late Hellenistic period, 2nd century BC, and quite often they exist on into the Roman period and then into the Byzantine period and sometimes into the Islamic and on up into the present day, such as the site of Nazareth or the site of Sepphoris or something like that. So even if we're interested in Galilee during the ministry of Jesus, that 1 3-year window, we're still also casting our gaze earlier than that and after that. We're interested in setting that ministry within a much broader context.
You spent a fair amount of time excavating at Sepphoris, as we mentioned earlier in the program. That's a huge city that was occupied at the time of Jesus, when Jesus lived in tiny Nazareth. And now you're excavating another tiny city from that period, Shekin. What was the purpose of choosing Shekin? Why did you go to that site?
That's a great question. You know, my father and his team identified the site of Shekin. There was no hill that preserved the name Shekin, unlike Sepphoris and unlike Nazareth and other towns, especially those that had survived occupied sites up until the present day. They knew about the site from Josephus, although under a different name, and they knew about the site from the Tosefta onward in Jewish writings. They said, you know, we think it's got to lie somewhere near Sepphoris. They surveyed in 1988, ended up publishing an article in two pieces in 1994 and 95, identifying this otherwise unnamed hill. It shows up with no name on maps for a very long time. They said, okay, we think we have found Shekin. So they had identified it, but done nothing further. Another scholar, an Israeli scholar, David Adan Bayowitz, had done neutron activation analysis of pottery discovered at Shekin and another site called Kfar Hanania. And he had published a lot saying, listen, I think I can show you that these two villages are supplying pottery for most of the towns of the Galilee and, of course, Sepphoris, the big city, and maybe on into the Golan Heights as well. And that was a significant contribution to say that widespread pottery manufacturing and distribution was happening at two rather small villages, rather than saying being a big city industry or something. But nobody had excavated. So when my father decided he was going to wrap up the USF excavations at Sepphoris in 2010, and by that time I had joined him as co-director, I began thinking about, well, what am I going to do next? Where am I going to take students to train them in archaeological method? I began thinking about Shekin. But just to back up just a little bit, one of the reasons my father went to Sepphoris was he had been digging at northern Galilean villages, Jewish villages, for many years, starting in 1971. And he said, okay, we've got a good bite on village life in the northern Galilee. It's now time to excavate a city. So he moved to Sepphoris in 1983. And by the time that I was thinking, I said, okay, we've got a good bite on a city. We've had four university excavations going on there, sometimes simultaneously, USF and Duke University and Hebrew University and Tel Aviv University. So I said, why don't we get some data from a village that's clearly in the jurisdiction of Sepphoris and see what we can learn about village-city relationships by excavating there. It had been identified. The hypothesis was it's probably a manufacturing and distribution hub for pottery. Let's dig.
James Strange, professor of New Testament at Samford University. We will continue this discussion of the excavations at the Galilee village of Shekin and his new book in our next program. The book is Excavating the Land of Jesus, published by Erdmans. A good way to keep up to date in the latest developments and discoveries in biblical archaeology is through our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. You can find out how to subscribe by going to our website at radioscribe.com. There you'll also find videos on recent discoveries as well as information on our November 2024 Israel tour. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on Biblical Archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.